Welcome to the Gorfine Schiller and Garden podcast series. Today, we're hosting part two of our three-part podcast series with John Mahaffey, Director of Audit and Accounting Services at GSG, which will highlight selected areas of costs that are allowable under FAR. And for this particular interview, we are taking a look at allowable costs on the compensation side of things. And John, once again, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Matt. It's great to be with you.
Yeah. Great to have you back. And once again, if you don't mind, can you remind our listeners about what FAR is and all that good stuff?
Sure. FAR stands for the Federal Acquisition Regulation, and it's the primary regulation used by federal executive agencies in their acquisition of supplies and services. It's issued by the DOD, the GSA, and NASA. Within the FARs is Part 31, which is entitled Contract Cost Principles and Procedures. It includes the regulations for pricing contracts and determining allowable costs. And specifically within 31 is 31.2, Contracts with Commercial Organizations, and this covers all types of contracts except those with educational institutions, not-for-profit entities, or state and local governments. And just to point out that state DOTs generally use the FAR as a basis for determining allowable costs on state contracts as well.
All right, great. Thanks, John. Appreciate those insights once again. And now let's dive into the meat of this particular podcast, which is all about allowable costs on the compensation side of things. And we'd love to hear more about that.
Sure. So compensation is typically one of the largest, if not the largest, expense of an A&E firm. And there's a significant amount of detail in this section. FAR 31205-6 is compensation for personal services. And it starts with describing what compensation is allowable in a general sense. And to start, it has to be compensation for work performed in the current year with some exceptions. There is severance pay is allowable if it's required by a law or an agreement, although abnormal severance is not allowed. So, you know, if you had a situation where you wanted to shut down a division and gave everybody abnormal severance, it would not be probably would be challenged by the government as an allowable cost. Back pay is allowed only if you're correcting a prior error. You can't just decide, hey, I wanted to pay somebody more last year and then do it now. It has to be a correction of an error that was made. In addition to being performed in the current year, compensation in total, which would include base salary, bonus, company 401k contributions, and other fringe benefits, must be reasonable. So there's that overall test again for allowable costs. It has to be reasonable for the work performed. So you can't, let's say, pay an intern $200,000 and charge it to a government contract. That wouldn't be reasonable. So for those situations, you kind of want to look at the similar industry and size. And there's industry surveys, compensation surveys that could also be used to kind of gauge what's reasonable for a particular position or a group of, you know, a class of employees. It also needs to be based on an established compensation plan that's consistently followed. There's no presumption of allowability if you make a major unapproved change in compensation practices. So if you're going to make some kind of a change in the way your compensation is structured, they want to, and you have a lot of government contracts, it would be wise to speak to the contracting officer and get approval ahead of time for that. In addition, for owners of the firm, any compensation cannot be considered a distribution of profits. So distribution of profits is not an allowable cost to charge a government contract. So it becomes important to have written plans and procedures and policies around compensation, especially if elements of compensation are challenged. That sort of brings up the topic of bonuses and incentive compensation, which can be sort of a tricky area. And the reason that is because at the end of the year, a lot of A&E firms sort of see how much money they have and how are they going to bonus it out. And a lot of times, you know, with the owners of the firm, that can become a gray area. Is it a bonus paid for compensation, or are you really just distributing profits out of the business? So that's an area that can be challenged by the government and auditors. So it becomes important, again, to have a written bonus plan. Bonuses need to be paid either under a written bonus plan or an established policy that's so consistently applied that it implies that you have a policy in place. The basis for the award, the bonus, must be supported and based on established criteria. So, you know, look to your bonus plan. What's the criteria for a bonus? And it's usually some kind of merit or performance measures. And again, make sure it's not a distribution of profits for the owners. Make sure this is documented. You could really have a bonus plan and a profit distribution plan written. And that way, you know, once you file that, it supports what you've done. And you also want to look at total comp, including the bonus, when determining whether it's reasonable and allowed. Because again, it's total compensation that needs to be looked at to determine allowability. Another area is pension costs. Company contributions to pension plans are a form of compensation and allowable. In order to be allowable, though, those contributions to the plan have to be funded by the same due date as the federal tax return, including extensions. So you've got time, and it can be funded after year end. But if it's not funded by that due date, then it's not an allowable cost, and it's not an allowable cost for the following year either. So it's a lost cost. It's an important thing to make that date. And it should be in accordance with an established plan, as seems to be regulations. Another area is fringe benefits. That would include your paid time off, company paid insurance, supplemental unemployment, et cetera. These need to be reasonable, required by law or an agreement or an established policy. Can't kind of wing it. It has to be something that you do. It has to be reasonable. One thing to note is that a lot of firms let employees use company autos for personal use, and this is not an allowable cost, even if that personal use is reported as compensation. So it's just not allowable. And this includes commuting to and from first place, you know, their workplace. So one thing to look at is, are you letting employees use company autos, and keep track of that percentage, keep mileage logs so that the cost can be allocated between the business use and the personal use. Another fringe benefit, just to point out, is employee discounts. If you allow that, there's not an allowable cost charge to the government. Finally, there are compensation caps for federal contracts. It's a changing number each year, but it looks like it's going to be $555,000 for 2020. And the state DOTs also have caps for executive compensation, and that's based on a sliding scale that's determined based on revenue. They have a tool out there that can be used for state DOT contracts. That's pretty much it for compensation. There's a lot more detail, but that's the high points.
That's great. Thanks, John. Appreciate that rundown there. Lots of great information there. And once again, if you don't mind, tell us about GSG services in this area.
Sure. We perform audits of indirect cost rates for state DOT contractors. We also provide assistance in preparing indirect cost rate submissions for federal government contractors. And we provide general consulting on business and tax issues, as well as government contracting.
Perfect. This concludes part two of our FAR Allowable Cost podcast series, where John Mahaffey, Director of Audit and Accounting Services at GSG, provided a high-level look at allowable costs on the compensation side of things. And please stay tuned for part three, which is our final podcast in this series, where we will take a look at all other costs that are allowable under FAR. And John, thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks, Matt. Always a pleasure.